The Sunday Skypers. Burning beards.
I'll encourage everyone to have a look at their beliefs and see if there's something that they want to amend or change or tweak. I will get one of those human war dog puppies.
I'm sorry, he wants one. For protection versus anything else, but...
no dwarven greed involved at all, right?
Well, maybe just a little bit. Okay, a lot of it.
I'm not quite sure if it's a belief or an action statement.
Maybe you believe you'll have action.
Well, it basically is, I will bring together the three apprentices, Rory, Bear, and Atherbald, the feisty apprentice, and offer them Nogger apprenticeships.
Why, well, it's just a specialized brewer, so...
No, but still, I was imagining... No, but think about it, though. Beer brewing is one thing, but nogging, pretty much have said, it's more along of a religious calling than anything else.
That I just remembered. Since, the session before last, I think you offered Bear to be a partner in some kind of guild, right? So
yes.
This is kind of already in play.
With her, yes.
Yeah. You want to bring the others in as well? That's what you're saying?
Yeah. Right? Yes.
Okay. The fine information on the family for Flint is still part of the belief, right? It's just that you've moved it down, right? Okay.
Yeah. There's a comma there.
Okay. And you're happy with your stuff, Slate?
Yep.
Maybe you need to arrange some accidents so you can, prove that you're as good or better at stone bones.
Well, I do have extortion.
I mean, right now it's just sitting there I want to do this, but how will you do it?
If Fandro acts on his belief, you'll have plenty of practice.
The question is, on who? Well, it seems like the war dog thing is the most immediate right now. All right. Well, I guess we'll leap back into the hellish hall, the hellish throne room, with its cracks and cracked mirror polished marble pillars and all that stuff, and the cracks with the unaccustomed strange underflow of red with its fumes and
definitely a fixer upper.
Yeah. Oh, and we have the three, well, three of the dwarves anyway, not the three dwarves, facing Lord Rom, the leader slash prophet of the serpent people, right, taking possession of Scoria, who's presently sitting on the dragon throne in the middle of the big dragon skull. And we have Bregor the Watchman, who's standing to a side, mortally terrified. And we had an exchange between the prince and Lord Rom about legitimacy and who's the ruler of this sandbox. And we'd hit an impasse of some kind. Like, we were about to, go to some...
It was time to go to dice, I think.
Yeah.
One way or another.
One way, yeah. I may have a little wrench for that, but we'll see. Yeah, so we're back in the... It's sort of reddish and fiery-esque. And, oh, right, Lord Rom is this kind of Mola Rom-ish character, shaven head. He has robes, but one, side is bare. Like, his right arm and shoulder is bare. But in contrast to the other, humans here, he's ashen and pale instead of swarthy. And, he looks seriously ill. Like, he's sweating and so forth. But he also has this uncanny, unnerving presence. It is like heat waves coming out of his mouth when he speaks. Like, he's burning up in a spiritual sense, or in a sort of weird magical sense, right? Inside.
For some reason, I imagine he's played by Raw Julia.
Who's that?
Just because of the eyes. He's the actor who played Bison in the Street Fighter movies.
Oh, I'll have to look that up.
he's got really, his eyes really stand out. Yeah, he's got a long face, but to just shave his head instead of put him in the, bison hat.
I think you enter into that tension where something is about to happen that one or both sides are going to regret.
Yeah, it's so thick you can cut it with an axe.
And then there is a banging down, way down the stairs, because this room, for everyone who doesn't remember, is kind of a stair up, and then there's a platform, and a stair up, and a platform, and a stair up, and a platform, until you reach the throne platform, the final platform, so whoever rules can look down upon the masses that come to petition. And people have to wait, go up a step and have to wait.
Absolutely.
So way back down by the ridiculously oversized gates, there's a banging. Gregor jumps, like he expected something far worse to happen. And there's a call from downstairs that echoes up in the hall of a servant of some kind that says, "Great Lord Rom, you have new visitors, dwarves from the northern tunnels. What should we do with them? The leader wishes to speak." He had this expression of waiting for something to happen so he could relish in something cruel. But then that sort of melts away, and he looks suspicious, and he sort of eyes Fandral in a narrow way, as if he's thinking, like, okay, is this some ploy or like plan of this dwarf? And then he calls out, "I'm weary of petitioners for today. Take those dwarves and put them in." It's me looking for words, not Molaram, not Molaram, Egoth, Lord Ram. Quarter them, right? No, and not quarter them as in quarter them, but, you know, give them quartering. There we go. We don't want you to misunderstand this.
There's a small misunderstanding. We didn't mean to sacrifice you. Yet.
Give them quartering. And he looks over to you three and he says, "You, if you have further words to spew, you can do so tomorrow. This is over."
Oh, this is a real cheat.
You don't have to listen to him. You're the MFN Prince of Marl, right?
It has been a very long time and I've come a long way. We will settle this now.
Oh.
You know, these two are really cast from the same mold.
Oh, yeah.
Stubborn much?
Okay, you can see he's considering something. Is anyone else doing anything?
Am I even just there?
No, I'm sorry. There's only really Flint there.
Okay.
I'm trying to do the 360 eye thing, because I don't know where trouble's coming from, but it's coming.
Okay, you're not stopping anyone. You're not doing anything.
Oh, no, no, no.
You're not speaking.
This is Prince's butting heads. It is not the game for Flint to play.
All right. In that case, Rom rises again from the throne, and he reaches back behind it, and he pulls out this long axe that looks like one of those Persian or Indian axes that with a blade that bends back upon itself and sort of makes a head on top of the axe head. And it's usually like an antelope, and the horns of the antelope become the back spike of the axe. Except this is not like an antelope or anything. It's like this steel crescent that bends back into a dragon's head, and the dragon's sort of stylized horns become the sort of back spikes. And they're all like these gold filigree flames going on the inside of the blade and down. It seems to be made entirely of metal. He smiles thinly at Fandral and says, "Come at me then."
So we're not dueling wits, okay.
It's not his usual mode, but, you know.
All right, and Fandral will take out his axe and say, "And let this be between us. If you should win, let my company go back tomorrow." Is he not in agreement?
He nods.
Then I'll tell Flint that if things go badly, get everybody back to Mara.
Okay, Flint, are you fine with this? I mean, you're supposed to have his back. What are you doing?
I'm not particularly amused by this. But at the same point, he's kind of giving me an order to back off and be plan B. So I will pull my axe out and be on the ready, but I will not move to his side. If anything, I'll act like a second and make sure that Unferth doesn't be irrational either.
Yeah, he's...
Stand down. This is a duel between powers greater than us.
Right. So Unferth is like, he's snarling to you sort of under his breath, like, we shouldn't let this happen. What if we lose us? We can't gamble the entirety of Scoria on this one duel. What is to say the human is good for his word?
If he's not, then we cut him down.
He looks less than excited about that prospect. But okay, let's go to a duel.
I'll say that in the Manish tongue, by the way. I'm not. That's not a secret conversation. That's showing respect.
Okay. That's totally not what Unferth was doing, but that's fine.
I'm sure it wasn't what he was doing.
Yeah. I think for the sake of brevity, we should make this like a bloody versus.
Okay.
Otherwise, I think it'll be a bit much.
On the bright side, I don't think the good lord is totally armored up, is he?
No.
Oh.
In fact, he has these fairly thin double robes on, red and black. One under the other.
I notice red and black. It's kind of a theme.
Yep. Soot and fire. So if you appear to be done, then he walks slowly toward you, and he's sort of gauging your stance and what you're doing.
I give him nothing. To set up throwing in some intimidation, I'll say something. The last time I used this dwarven axe on a human, it was like a knife through butter.
Hey, why don't we do that? Let's see if you can make him hesitate. So grab your intimidation dice, and I'm going to grab his stats. We haven't actually used intimidation much as it's usually intended. So this is interesting. Successful. Add extra successes to the... Okay. It makes him make a steel test. I see. And that adds to his hesitation obstacle. Cool.
Okay, so what's my obstacle?
Your obstacle is 6.
For this, we'll just use a routine greed.
Totally appropriate.
I'm just trying to imagine the greed component here. It's like, nice axe. It looked good on my trophy case.
It's human made. I mean, it's pretty, but that's it.
Well, it is probably as tall as the prince.
So that gives me 10 dice, and we'll just start out with that. We'll give him a chance. Ooh, that's right. Awful.
Oh,
fortunately, I have a Cullen trait with my baleful stare.
Yes, you do. Excellent.
So I can reroll all my traitors here, which is a lot of them, which is... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them.
Excellent. And don't forget your 6. Oh, wait, this is not open-ended by default, but that's a possibility.
Oh, man, this is the worst dice roll.
Wow, that's cruel.
Ever.
That's so cruel. You still have, you could open the 6, right?
Yeah, I guess, might as well. Well, that's only 5 successes on my intimidate.
All right, so he just sneers. It's like it wasn't even... It just went below everything, like, really.
I've heard worse threats from my mother.
You can believe that.
I'll spend a deed to double the axe.
All right, cool. Don't forget to record the deed on the axe skill.
Yeah, my greed's going to be going up here because I'm going to get the full 6 dice.
Ah, nice. Okay.
Start. Tell me how we do this again, because mine...
For a bloody versus, you take your axe skill, and then we start to tag up bonuses and so forth and forks. So it's your axe skill. Alas, you don't have a longer weapon. You do have versus armor on your weapon, so that's good. So that's an extra die. I should look at your stats, actually, because you may get more than one extra die.
I imagine that's a nicely crafted axe.
Absolutely. Don't forget to add the like wielding bonus.
If I just have to kibitz in here, there's a possibility of a home court advantage since you grew up here.
How do you like take advantage of terrain or try to position myself so that he'll have to get on the uneven cracked ground?
I'd say if you have a higher like stride or if you have higher reflexes than he does, that would be like a bonus. That would add into it, right? Or if you have a skill like, say, if you were fighting in a tunnel and you have tunnel-wise, you could fork in that. I don't know if this would be in an environment that would clearly be in your favor, right? It's if you want to work in like pushing him toward cracks and so forth than Forkin brawling.
Don't have it.
Don't.
He's a prince. He doesn't
brawl in the street. You guys better take some lessons from Ulfkill. Okay, that's all I'm saying. You fight too honorably. You don't have a shield, right?
No.
But you do have a Rolls Royce of arm.
A strategy. I get to figure out where to position myself most effectively against this guy.
I'll totally let you fork in that.
All right.
Yeah, big axe requires a big space to swing.
It's not that big. I mean, it's bigger than yours, but it's appropriate for him. It's not like a big, huge, like, halberd. It's
a matter of perspective.
Yes, yes. For you, it might be a footman's axe, like something that goes up to your nose. Okay, he has longer stride, but I think you have higher reflexes, so... Or maybe you don't. Okay, you're at the same. I think you have more forks than he does. And you have... You should get 4 dice for your armor. I had it right here. Here we go. Okay. Versus armor 1. So you get 1 die for the axe. 2 dice for the axe. 1 for balance and 1 for being a good cutter. And you get 4 dice for your armor, your forks, however many. And you add all that together to one pool on top of your axe skill, and then you divide the axe skill between attack and defense. I'm going to do the same.
And I'm spending 2 more persona on top of my greed persona.
Cool. That makes 3, so that's fine.
I guess I should just ask, matter of fact, like, if these guys both go full offense, can they end up killing each other?
Oh, yeah. Yes, they could. Absolutely, they could. And then you really need Slate.
I think he's dead already.
Well, he's taken mortal wounds, so it will be more dramatically appropriate to have him be, like, really badly wounded, right, and maybe bleeding out and so forth. And it wouldn't be too much fun to behead the prince at this point when I've just introduced other dwarves that you know, possibly have an agenda.
Yeah, there's a good chance we're going to have to go have Unferth get Slate now.
It's a possibility, yeah.
So do I get to know what I'm up against before I...
Yes, I'm factoring all of it so you can make a determination if you want to, like, change anything. Well, he's not supposed to be easy, so... But at least he doesn't have armor. That's good for you.
Yeah.
Longer stride. Yes, okay. That's 1.
Freakishly long legs.
Yes. He's at 14 dice. 14 axe dice with all the, like, bonuses and so forth. And I think I'm just going to split them into 8 attack, 6 defense.
Then maybe I'll go 12 attack, 15 defense.
Holy cats! Of course, then, the way you've been rolling ones, you kind of need that.
There won't be any need for Slate. He'll be dead.
So, do you want me to roll first? And I'll do that.
Sure.
So, 8 attack, and we have...
Here's my defense.
Oh, cool. Excellent.
Well, I'm all spent fate, so I can... I guess I tied in. Do I need to... What's the tie mean?
Tie for attack and defense means he doesn't hurt you.
So I don't have to spend any then?
You don't have to spend anything, right? You blunt his attack.
My attack, I guess. And I'll spend fate.
Awesome.
6s. That's 4 sixes.
That's excellent.
Ah, only 1
not
more.
Not 1. Yeah. See what he does for defense then. Oh, I'm going to spend a fate. Well, 6s. And 3. So 3 against however many successes you have on your attack, which should be...
7.
7. So 4. 4 attack successes go through. Let's determine the extent of his injury first, and then I'll, like, describe how he goes about this stuff. So 4, I don't think it's a superb hit, but it's definitely a mark, and that's bad enough. You don't want to be hit with a mark. A mark is like 8 for you, right? B8?
Yeah, B4, B8, B12.
So a black 8 hit. And now I regret giving him gray shade stuff, because I'm going to have to look that up. Splitting it, that's not an entirely heroic mortal wound, so... So it's a light wound, because he's a bastard. So what happens is he sweeps in, he blasts you with some rhythmic, deep-throated... Oh, it almost sounds like a prayer, and it rolls over you in like heat, like fire, but it's not physical fire. That's what it feels like. And he comes in swinging and crushing, and, you know, he uses every part of the axe, the butt, the haft. It's all metal, right? So, you know, he parries whatever he can. And really drives for you, like, but you blunt his every attack. So how do you like, sidestep or deflect? Because he brings it down like it's a hammer of a god.
Brings up the haft of the axe with both hands to knock that aside and dips underneath his lanky human swing, cuts into him. Yeah, son of a bitch, I met your mother on the way in. I think her name was Madra.
Did you fork in intimidation?
I didn't.
All right.
Since I tried that.
Flavor, that's fine.
That's just instinct. He always talks in combat.
Oh, right. I keep forgetting that. Man, I should give you, like, increased obstacles every now and then for that. You're busy coming up with stuff to say. Okay, so you have an incredibly violent exchange, right? He's just trying to cut you in half, and you're evading, and at last, like, you leap in, and it could be any kind of light wound. You know, you could graze his ribs, you could, like, chop his arm or something, or a leg, whatever you want. But it's not a serious, like, serious wound. But you go at it for a while, like a solid minute of this stuff, and his axe is just chipping the stone. It's biting into the stone. It's a show, people who are watching. And Bregor is like on his knees, quaking. And I think Unferth is like squeezing Flint's arm, like he's almost trying to tear it off. It's that, like,
not the axe arm.
No, not the axon. But finally, Rom staggers back, and, you know, you can see that he was sweating before, but now he's clearly overheating, and he's just gasping. Yeah, he falls back, like, with one arm on the throne, and the axe is like, he tries to lift the axe, but he's just powerless. He doesn't have any energy left, and he's just panting, and yeah, you can see he's done for. Even though his wound is really slight.
Do we go at it again, or?
No, you won. Right? He didn't hurt you at all. You hurt him, so you get, you know, your intent. You won the fight. Right? He's done. If you wanted to, you could just go up and chop his head off. He has no energy left at all.
You know, and in this middle of this fight, this guy chose this path. That's it. He's gone.
All right.
I got my greed on.
He's on your throne.
And I've seen what his people have done to the throne room in Scoria. I mean, the mountain itself is writhing against them.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not letting him continue.
Flint, Bregor, when he sees that Fandral looks to be moving upon his overlord, right, with intent to harm, he screams a no and scrambles up from the floor, hurtling at Fandral.
Oh, no, we're going to sweep his feet.
All right, you want to stop him?
Sure.
Okay, lethally, non-lethally, how do you want to handle it?
As efficiently as possible.
Don't forget you have power, right, that you could just wrestle him if you want to. But I think you have more axe dice.
They're actually both five.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we'll just tackle him, because all I really need to do is slow him down.
Yeah, you give him a good tackle. Let's see.
I just jump on him. This is a matter not between mere mortals.
Would you like to fork in intimidation?
Of course. It's something I actually can do.
Yeah, so that's six dice then. Right. So versus Tessie, he's going to roll his five power dice.
Well, that's not the result I wanted.
It shows you rolled a four, a five, and a six.
Oh, okay, cool. We'll take that.
Yeah. So, okay, depending on what he rolls, you may want to explode that six. He has two successes against us for three, so that means you do it.
Yeah, we'll give him the good old dwarven face plant. Grab his legs and his forward momentum from his top-heavy frame.
Yeah.
Just carry him right into the steps.
Smack.
Yeah, he's immobile beneath you, right, as Fandral goes up to do what he wants to do with the...
He'll step up and, wow, take the head off. That's our way.
Oh, wow, okay. Yes, that is your way.
Now, does he spout flames from his neck when he does that, or just blood?
there's like a gout of hot air, but there's no, like, there's still blood. And the blood sort of bubbles on Fandral's steel. Breaker's just wailing like you
hit it as God
away. Yes, like not only God, but like the pillar of his. Imagine a devout, like, Shinto follower who sees you behead the emperor, right, before his eyes. Like, it's that sort of, he has to believe that the emperor is like vested with the divinity of everything beyond him. And now, you know, you've essentially cut away his sanity, his reason for being. So he's just completely broken.
See the steam come out full of hot air like all these blowhard humans.
You can hear Unferth sort of babbling behind you.
What's the matter?
He's not quite, you know, he's not quite certain that he saw what he just saw. And there's some banging down below, as if like gates just shut. And with that, let's hop on over to some other dwarves.
As the shockwaves ripple through the community.
Well, you know, I think we should work our way outwards then. We probably should go over and we should visit Slate.
So when you first came into like Scoria proper, right, Slate, you came into these, like, the series of really huge natural caverns that wherein these great halls have been built, right? There are like beautiful thoroughfares and so forth. But of course, it's been abandoned for a century and a half. And only in the last decade has anyone lived here. And the humans don't know how to use the gas lights. They don't know or don't care to live as the dwarves do. They're completely different. They're like, they have a martial style about them, just like Bregor, like you met. But it's a bit like, to you, it's a bit like seeing cavemen living in like a marble palace. You know, they paint themselves, but not as crazily as the humans you have met previously, if you have, as the dwarves have met previously. They have like naked fires out in the street or in braziers or braziers. I can never remember how to pronounce that, so it's not a bra, but whatever. There are dogs here and there or like lying in doorways, panting or watching, and there are like kids, barefoot kids in puffy trousers running around, men, women, and so forth. Once you approached the approach up to the throne room, the throne hall, you were stopped by a watch commander who insisted that, you know, you should disarm and so on and so forth. But you managed to like negotiate. The prince and Flint and Unferth went up to see Lord Roth. While you were carted off to a side, you've just been sort of ushered away by this gruff watch commander Gromus and like his little retinue. You're passing through some narrower streets where there are like kids running around and people are passing you and looking like, whoa, I haven't seen that many dwarves in like ever. Gromus has said that he's taking you to like a quartering where you can sit and wait or have something to eat. But if you want to go and do your own thing, that might be interesting.
I do, actually.
Yeah?
I'm going to go see about those dogs.
Do you mind if anyone sees you go and see about those dogs?
It's just asking around, so it's not like I'm doing anything suspicious.
Okay, so you're still following the rest, you're just asking people on the way?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. How are you asking?
Well, first of all, I want to find out what they're called.
What I'm asking is, who do you ask? Is it just anyone? Do you grab a kid? Do you approach a woman? Do you, and is it like just casual conversation, or are you trying to get them to tell you more than they would if you were like, is that a dog? Yes, it is.
I think I'm going to grab one of the guys just sitting around. Seems like they know, like, not doing anything.
All right. Not many of those, but let's say there's an older guy.
Or a woman. I mean, it could be either. Someone that's just sitting around not doing much.
Right, well let's do the geezer.
Okay.
I think he's sitting by, like, one of the dogs, in fact. You know, just enjoying a mug of something. It appears to be water. He looks up at you when you're passing, like, whoa, that's surprising. All these dwarves.
Like, he's never seen a dwarf before.
He probably has, but not that many. And not that armed. That's clearly obvious because his eyes are like going from to your like armor and weapons and all that stuff.
So I'm just like approaching him a little bit.
All right, that's fine. I mean, you could just stop when they pass by. I'm not going to say how you do it.
Approach him. I don't know how dwarves say, like, good day in terms of body language. Like, they salute or something. I don't know.
Probably slap someone in the face, yeah.
Let's not do it the dwarven way, then. Smile his best dwarfy smile. Good day there. Trying to speak like a human.
All right, well,
miserably.
You have probably had some commerce with the humans who trade with you, so it's not impossible that you've learned, like, the language. All right, yeah, he looks up and looks you over and says, you don't look like the rest.
I don't look like the rest. How?
You don't have an axe.
Ah, well, you see, I'm a... He has to search his mind for the word for a second, so it's kind of like he goes a little blank. Doctor.
Huh.
Not much need for weapons.
What if you need to take something off?
I've got my own methods for that.
Opens up his pack. I've got a saw here. I've got these really nice shears. And
kind of.
I'm imagining you, like, laying someone's half-damaged leg over the edge of a table and just leaning on it until it breaks or something.
Just twist until it pops off, you know?
I've got my medical tools on my back, you see, and just kind of shrugs his shoulder, and it rattles.
Uh-huh. He plays with his fingers over, like, the little fire brazier beside him. Like, he's waiting for you to say something that means anything.
So, I had a question for you. Those dogs that have been walking around the streets, what are they called?
This is me laughing. So, he just shrugs and says, dogs?
They don't have a specific breed?
They're war dogs. They're all war dogs.
Do you have one?
Well, oh, yeah. If that wasn't clear, he's sitting next to one.
Oh, okay. Can I take a look at it?
Dog. You're standing right there.
Woof.
He's gonna reach out for the dog and hopefully not get his face bitten off.
Does your dog bite?
Did you see the nearer you get, he gets this slow grin on his face as if he's waiting for something?
Is your dog friendly to strangers?
No, he's a war dog.
That would explain it. Where did you get him?
Well, I bred him, of course. It's what we do. They're our companions.
I see. They must be quite the companion.
Well, it is handy when you are in the deep and the demons come for you.
Demons?
Were you there when... Yes, you were there when you met Gregor. Gregor referred to goblins as demons. So that's what this guy
did. Okay. Well, they shouldn't be bothering you for at least a little while.
I hope not. Is that why you're here?
Partially.
Do you fix goblins? Demons?
Do I fix them? No.
What use would... Oh, well.
What did you mean by that? I'm sorry, this is the player having trouble understanding.
Oh, yeah, no, it seemed like he had trouble for a second, like, understanding what you would be doing with the warriors. It doesn't seem to register on him that there might be a necessity for treatment of your own. Like, that seems alien to him.
Okay, well, I'm going to try to explain it the best I can. You see, sometimes when we fight those demons, some of my comrades get hurt.
Yes, they were weak.
No, they're my friends.
Well, you choose poor friends.
Tell that to the prince.
Do you mean Lord Rom?
No. Our leader calls himself the prince. It's kind of a quirk he has.
There's a prince here. I don't think that bodes well.
Possibly not, but I leave the politics to the others.
Meanwhile, in the throne room.
Rah! You can hear the clash of
politics.
People.
Politics is a very loose term when it comes to Fanville, just saying.
Well,
politics,
I mean,
I'm going to chop off your head.
Yeah, your friends are leaving you behind.
So they are. I probably should follow them. But I would like to know, how much would it cost me to get one of those dogs?
He looks to the dog and looks to you, and he shrugs and says, I'm sure if you could entertain the breeder over there. And he points across from, through the street, across the little opening further ahead to... Like the open doors of a little hall. You can hear barking and you can see dogs, like younger versions of these dogs, like running out and in, and there are some, like, a gaggle of red-painted humans there.
You know what? I'm going to actually go over there.
Okay, so you don't let him stop. Finish. You just turn around and go.
No, I will let him finish, but I'm just saying, as a character, he's probably going to go over there and leave behind.
He says, well, if you entertain the breeder, maybe that will gain you a dog.
That's not a bad idea. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Also, possibly not used to a dwarf thanking somebody.
No, we're used to dwarves beheading us.
So he's going to wave goodbye and give the dog a look and head over towards where the guy pointed.
Give the dog a bone. Okay, go ahead.
Just hopefully not an arm bone.
Okay, so this watchman comes wandering over since you have strayed from the rest. And he grabs you briskly by whatever clothing you have. And he shoves you in the direction of the dwarves and he says, don't fall behind.
Okay, so obviously I'm going to have to get away from this guy.
Well, yeah.
All right, so I'm going to be following him then. And
well, he's actually looking at you and expecting you to... He's behind you now, right? So he's expecting you to go in the direction of the rest. He's hurting.
Okay, I'm going to go in the direction of the rest.
All right, you don't do anything? Say anything?
He's taller than me. He's stronger than me. You know what? He's going to look up, all the way up. At, I wanted to visit the dog breeders.
Well, that is not what I've been told. You are to go to quarter. You are to eat and drink and wait for your prince.
All right. I'll just have to sneak out when he's in the quarters.
All right. Okay, in that case, you know, you follow the rest and you get to a, like, quartering, like a half-empty quartering hall. It, like, has, like, the central hall where the dwarves meet and make merry normally. And then there are, like, side rooms and, like, a big room further on ahead. In the center, you can see, like, people have laid out some very sparse, like, furs, and there's bits of straw in corners and here and there. And in the center, where usually there would be, like, a long fire pit, there's just been heaped in the middle a bunch of dwarven furniture, most of which have already been burned, and there's sort of a slow fire in the middle. And you can see this, like, the back of an ornate dwarven chair, lovingly carved and lacquered, but, you know, sticking out from the midst of the firewood. And, oh, yeah.
Ooh, that'd get a thousand gold pieces on eBay.
The dwarves you are with, Frumi and the rest, are, like, they are clearly not very happy. Like, the, you know, they're looking over how their stuff has been treated, and the dwarven arts and crafts and stuff is handled by these humans. But, yeah, they don't raise a fuss or anything. Sit down in clumps of, like, five or six and, like, open up their little beer reserves and give the humans an evil eye, right? And the humans set up, like, a little guard post outside.
So we're in, like, a, like, what, 10-foot by 10-foot room?
You're in a pretty spacious hall. Like, imagine being inside four buses, two abreast. Like, that's about the space of the main hall. And then there are side rooms to each side.
Oh,
in the middle of this, like, thing is the makeshift fire.
I wonder if those halls lead anywhere. Which part of this little encampment is being guarded?
Oh, the main entrance, which is really the only entrance. Door entrance, I should say.
Who am I with?
You are with Frumi and a bunch of scouts and a few axe bearers that came with Fandral and the rest.
All right, can I pull one of the axe bearers aside when we get settled?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, what's his name?
Let's say you grab Frumi. He's maybe not an axe bearer, but a scout. But, you know, he's probably better to ask for stuff anyway.
How are you doing, Frumi?
If you were asking if I'm well, I'm well. But I must say I'm not too happy about these savages rooting around and destroying our stuff.
Neither am I, but they do have some beautiful qualities.
Like what?
You see the size of their dogs?
They're just big goblins. You put a shaft in the middle between the ice, I'm sure they go down just like a troll.
I'm thinking a little more along the lines of keeping one.
Why would you do that? They look dangerous.
Exactly. waiting for him to put two and two together. Probably going to take a moment.
Keep a human.
No, not a human, a dog.
No, I'm reading the chat. I'm sorry. He's not enamored with the idea, clearly. I think you should stick with just your surgeon tools and maybe keep a pet rat or something.
Look.
You could give it your cures, and if it dies, you know it's wrong.
Look, Frumi. Okay, what is Frumi's greed, if I would know it?
What, you mean like his idiom, what he's into?
Yes.
Yeah, he's not a big power person, so pretty much everything else is...
Oh, okay. So, here's what I'm going to offer you. I'll get together with your compatriots and cause a scene, enough so I can slip out the back. I'll make it worth your while.
Hmm. What are we talking about?
Well, what's a female dwarf name?
Ella. There you go.
Ella, okay. I know you've been eyeing Ella back in camp.
Well, that's not true. I just have to take that road when I go to privy.
Really? Six times a night?
I had a lot of ale, okay? Leave me alone.
What would you say if I could get her to look at you back?
You could do that?
I could.
How?
Well, she's one of my patients.
Well, no, I'm not sure I want you to give her something. That would be not on...
I wouldn't give her anything. Simply, talk you up a bit. Next time she comes in. Tell her how strong and brave you are, how you protected me. Not extortion yet, but there could be extortion on the way.
No, you don't have to extort. Well, okay, if you were to spread that he likes her, maybe he would be annoyed, but yeah.
Plus persuasion. B2. What can I fork in?
Spielwise.
Spielwise. Haggling? I am essentially haggling.
Well, all right.
You sound like a right oof kill.
I wish Oofkill was here. He would help you with this. Okay, so I get two...
I'll give her a good beer. Tell her you gave it to her.
I get four, yeah?
You have two and two forks, so that's four, yes. Would you like to spend any persona? Although I'll give you a vantage die for, like, giving him something you want. For tagging his greed, for his desire. So you have five, and then you can decide whether you want to add something.
Yeah, I'll add a persona.
You can add up to three if you really want to succeed.
I do.
If you succeed, he's going to, you know, create a distraction. If you don't succeed, the distraction's going to go poorly, and you're going to get caught, or if it's more fun, you're going to get into a chase.
I'm going to fork in three, then, persona. So that's eight dice, I think.
Eight dice versus an old four. I think you have four successes, right? Okay, so he strides down among the rest of the dwarves, and he sort of fishes out one of the half-burned stools or something, and he starts to rile them up, and while sort of winking at them about how it's a travesty how they're being treated this way, and now they're corralled into a little more than a cell, and making an awful lot of racket, as dwarves are wont to do. And so a bunch of the humans, like four or five of them, spill into the hall and start to try to calm things down. So this is totally the distraction you need, to either slip out the front or the back. Your choice.
I will slip out the back. There's a chance of them seeing me that
way. You'll have to crawl through one of the somewhat narrow window embrasures in the back, but that's fine.
I'm a dwarf. It's not a problem.
Well, you may have to, you know, suck in your gut, but that's fine. Okay, so you squirm out and land in one of the narrower streets behind the hall. It's empty. No one particular around. It's dark and dirty.
All right, so judging by where we came in, where is the breeder's place?
Sounds like a Holdwise test.
Ugh, I don't even have Holdwise.
I so wanted to get lost in Scoria.
Sounds like a movie, Lost in Scoria.
It was a seminal novel by one of Gotterdam's ancestors. You don't have that. That means you can test it at beginner's luck.
So write it down?
Write it down under learning skills, just like orienteering. And Holdwise is based on perception, which I think you have a decent score in. Okay, so you're going to have six dice, and the obstacle is going to be two, which is then going to be doubled to four to find your way back successfully. It's going to count as a routine test toward opening the skill. So you can write that down right away. If you succeed, you get there, no problem. If you fail, I think you are horribly lost and somewhere you didn't want to go. Okay, you have five successes. That's really good.
Oh, man. I was so hoping that Slate would end up lost in the throne room.
Me too. Lost in the throne room, but, you know. Okay, you have absolutely no problem whatever. You know, you just to follow your nose, I guess. Before you know it, you're standing outside the quested kennel, for lack of a better term. And there are these bare-chested, puffy-panted kennel masters corralling the dogs or playing with them or throwing them treats or directing them to do stuff.
Some of the treats are goblin arms.
Well, it's mystery meat. You never know where it may be from.
Do I have anything I could get one of the puppies' attentions with?
Okay.
Your arm.
No, I mean, do I have any tidbits in my, like, satchel or something?
I think we established that you may have had some jerky or something. Small nibble-type things that you might chew on while you're out on, you know, expedition.
I'm gonna be polite and knock on the door.
Oh, they're like inside and outside in the street, so you could approach someone. But if you want to go and like knock on the door post, essentially, because the doors are open.
I want to be polite, so.
Okay, yeah. In that case, there's a somewhat burly dude shows up with a couple of dogs around his legs and looks you over and looks very surprised. What do you want?
Actually, I was interested in your dogs.
I'm here to see about a dog. I think we should cut to someone else. We'll see how this goes. Whether you get your dog or the entirety of Scoria descends into a murderous chaos. I know what I want.
That'd be fun either way.
I think he looks genuinely surprised and amused when you say that, and that's when we cut off to back to camp. Ulfkill. Last we saw, Rory had run off. Bear had gone after him.
I put Athelbald in charge of getting everything ready, and then I went over back to Frore and see how he's doing.
You know, whichever of the dwarves, you know, whichever name he had who survived, you know, they're so alike. One of them survived, one didn't. We mixed up the names, whatever. The surviving dwarves.
I think we decided that Kim is dead and Frore is all bandaged up. But Frore, we know when we undo the bandages, it's Kim.
All right, yeah. So you were over in the triage having a drink and looking over the mysterious dwarf.
Yeah, I think he's the only one in there now because I think Scully's been released on his own consciousness, hasn't he? Or he's
nope. Scully's oh, no, there. No. Scully was mortally wounded. He is really.
Well, that's right, yes.
Yeah, he's yelling at you silently with his one unbandaged eye, bloodshot eye, across the entirety of the triage.
I look over and nod and say, yeah, right, Scully. I've not been doing my job as I should.
So low ground. Stone Bones is there and sort of doing a perfunctory checking on the patients, so to speak, the injured. But apart from Scully, they're not too badly burned or injured.
Stone Bones, have you taken on apprentices before?
You mean before Slate?
Yeah, before Slate. I mean, Slate's doing fine, I think.
Well, I considered it for a time, but they were all hopeless, so I was a bit disconcerted, but then Slate came along, and you know how it is, you know, you have an epiphany. And
your master, how did he treat you? Taking a sip of my beer.
This is an interesting mode of inquiry. He looks like he's chewing on the answer, and then he says, I'm... don't think much of it.
I mean, did he berate you and beat you, or did he encourage you? Or, I mean, I knew how Paul treated me, and it was. Oh, I'm just wondering if we've been too hard on apprentices or something. I don't know.
You may have a point. If I'm to confess, I must confess that I was certainly cruelly treated.
Kept up late at night, told to clean this and clean that, or in your case, bandage that and bandages and empty the pot.
Yeah, yes, that. Totally not simple, that. Oh, here's a fun bit. Why don't you test perception, Ulfkill, and see if you actually pick up that Stone Bones maybe didn't have a formal education in this regard.
Ooh.
Let's make it in. Let's make it his will. Okay, so four. Obstacle four.
I had six in perception. I only got one persona. I ain't spending that. So, yeah, I'll just go for the six. I'll spend a fate and roll that six.
Oh, nice.
I matched.
You had four. Okay, so somewhere in his behavior, you seem to note that he's not entirely honest about what he's saying.
Hmm. sip.
Makes a little awkward cough and pats himself down for some instrument that he needs for checking on one of the dwarves.
See, because he's had Slate for a while, but I mean, he's not the only healer. I mean, from Moria.
From Moria?
Not Moria.
Marl.
He was not the only healer from Marl. He's the only one that signed up with us.
Yeah. He was probably the one who Flint, you know, that day way back when you had a little riot in Marl and you needed to...
That's right, yes.
Bruna, maybe. I think that was him as well.
It seems like a couple of years ago. You know, it's only been a week, only been 2 weeks. Well, I sort of shrug it off. That's something to investigate later. Sit back and I look down. And yeah, I can hear like... We gotta think better, but I gotta find some way of doing it. Choking my beard. Then the little torch appears above my head. I have an idea. We got a new beginnings. We got a new start there, Frore. we're going to start anew. Don't worry. We'll take good care of you. Take care of my lad there, Stonebones.
Always do.
I gotta see some folks about some Nog. So I go walking over there, and then I sort of stand outside watching Athelbald. How well is he doing it?
Up until very, very recently, he was one of the people who were being...
The slacker, yes.
Yeah, pushed around, so to speak. Now he's up and doing his thing, and the others are like, oh, he can't sit around. And then he's sort of one of them in a greater sense than Rory, so that helps.
Yeah, I hate to say this, but, you know, sometimes people who've been bullied become bullies themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, is he doing it the oof-kill way?
Lots
of yelling and...
Give him a few days or a few weeks.
Some more of your teaching.
Yeah. Well, I may change that. I come walking over. How's it going, Athelbald? Bald?
Athelbald? Hello.
I can't say...
Athelbald. He looks up. Oh, practically done already.
I look around. Is it practically done already?
Yeah.
A slap in the back. Good job.
Well, to be fair, we had it all... almost under control before.
Well, what little bit needed done, you got done right. Slap. I'm not even going to look and see if he did do it right.
Right.
which for me is unusual.
Draws himself up and hoists his belt.
That'd be just a bit, but I may be calling you over in a second or so. So, you know what? Take it easy, lads. Draw a beer and rest up for the trip back into Scoria.
All right. So he turns around and goes, "You're right, come on."
No. You understand? That is totally out of character for Ulfkel. He's telling them take it easy.
But then you just told him that, well,
he did a good job, yes. I mean, Ulfkel is being different right now. It should be people going, is he testing us?
Yeah, I think Athelbald thinks he deserves it. So he goes, you know, turns around. But among the rest, they're like, are you sure? Should we be doing this?
I nod and head off toward where Rory's little encampment, him and his, I'm going to say three, even though technically it's four, because Bear is his fourth, is his other apprentice, but yeah, is his little group there. And
right.
Do I hear sobbing or crying?
No. They're sort of sitting next to each other, and she's sort of patting his shoulder and talking to him, and the other hand is sort of making a fist and sort of making punchy gesticulations to sort of suggest that, you know, you need to hit this home and you need to hit that home and so forth.
Yeah, I stay a respectful distance away, and then I sort of turn around and walk back, and I see that Athelbald's having his beer, and I grab two more mugs in my own mug and fill them up and say, Athelbald, come with me.
Oh, don't mind if I do.
I walk on over and I clear my throat.
All right, they look up.
Oh, I make sure I pull from Rory's keg. The one that didn't quite succeed?
It wasn't bad. It was just not your quality.
Hopefully he'll notice that I'm actually giving him his beer, not my beer. Hand over, and I found a keg to sit down and a gesture for Athelbald to sit down to. Athelbald. Athelbald. I mispronounced his
name.
That's
fine. That's cool. Okay. That would be hilarious if you actually kept doing that. That won't piss him off at all.
I've had a thought, lads. And ladies, we're moving into Scoria, and we're going to need you to set up some breweries. And heaven help me, you three are my best apprentices.
Well, they sort of clear their throats or sort of draw themselves up proudly or watch you intently as if, you know, you're going to put them down next or something.
And I point to Rory and I point to Athelbald and say, you two are better than those guys over there. You know that. I know that. Rory's bearing you, Athelbald. You know that, too. But I'll tell you one thing, and I point to Bear, she's better than both of you.
They look at her like she's stolen something.
She learned from her mother how to brew her beer. I would say if it was in fact that she was in Regolith, she'd be a journeyman right now. Keep that in mind. And by the way, welcome to the guild, Journeyman Bear.
She lights up. Well, thank you, Master Ulfkill.
Now, we're going in there, and you know what? I'm going to need competition. Because if it's just one brewer, you end up making crap after a while. Because there's no competition. There's no reason to do better. So I'm looking at all four of you to be getting your own breweries. You got to prove yourself some more before I give you one, Athelbald. But, you know, keep working and you get your own brewery. Because, you know, you wouldn't be putting up with this shit from me if it wasn't that you didn't like brewing beer. You didn't want to be a brewer. Am I right?
Of course I don't.
Right. Now, the reason I brought you over here is that, while brewing beer is all fine and good, I'm the only Naga here. And you may have helped once or twice with the Nogs I've done. I'm the only Naga here. So, I'm putting out an offer to you, because this is not a light thing to do. I'm offering you Naga apprenticeships.
Athelbald looks at you, crosses his arms and goes, and will you be teaching Nogging like you teach brewing?
Guys, help me, but no, I'm going to try to do something different. Less yelling. Well, there'll be some yelling, because there'll always be some yelling with me, you know that. But more, you know, trying to understand what's not working right. You got that?
I think that sounds very wise, Matt Wolfkill, says Bear. And Rory's nodding.
Rory?
What?
You're not me. No. And I should not be making you me. You have your own way. And you need to work out what your way is.
All right.
No, not all right. Not all right.
Yes?
This vein starting to show up in Wolfkill's forehead. Grabs his beer and takes a big cloth of it.
But they do the same, because, you know, now you drank.
One, two, three. What I'm meaning is, I made you a journeyman. You are your own brewer now. So you do it however you want to do it. If you want to be nice to your apprentices, be nice to your apprentices. If you want to kick their asses, you can kick their asses, but don't do what I do.
He looks supremely confused, like, but you're the master brewer. Oh, I think I know what you mean. Do what you do, but don't do what you do. Yes?
And what does that mean?
Brew like you, don't teach like you.
That sounds good.
The others nod.
We're going to a new place, and we are going to be starting brand new, afresh. All you will be in the new Escoria Brewers Guild. But we are going to set new rules, new ways of doing things. We're not going to repeat the mistakes of the past. My mistakes of the past.
Oh, that's big of you. So yes, I mean, Athelbald.
Yes, it is. He's sure of himself, you know. One thing we need to do, though, because we are going and opening up at least one new brewery, and hopefully three more left of this, we need to do a special Nog. We need to do the Nog of Beginnings. And I don't think you've ever done one, because it's only done in one case, when you make and start a new Nogery.
We have the materials for that, says Bear.
Everything but the most important ingredient. We don't have any eggs. Eggs represent the beginning, a new birth, and preferably fertilized eggs. if there's one floating inside, we'd let that hatch and grow up. But yeah, it's got to be fertilized, but not more than just a spotch. I don't know where we can get any, but we need to make one. We can get everything else ready to go, and I'll be trying a new way of teaching you. So if I make mistakes, let me know. I mean, I'm being honest about that. Let me know if I'm making mistakes teaching you. Point out to me what I'm doing wrong. I'll yell at you, but then I'll sit back and think about it. Because, you know, I want you to learn and not just be intimidated by me.
Yeah, next episode, the chicken hunters, yeah.
Well, you know, there's some chickens living in Scoria right now. I wouldn't count on it.
That's probably what Rory said. Like, where are we going to get the chicken?
Yeah, because from your perspective in the camp, it's a desolate, barren place. That's not where you would raise a chicken.
Aye, that's a good question. We could go to the surface, and we may have to treat with the humans. We do know that there may be some humans running someplace. So we got to go with them and, you know, and see if they're willing to trade with us.
Okay, before you sort of launch into this grand plan of achieving a chicken, I think you're selling it pretty well, so I'm going to give you a bonus die, but I think I want to get at something to see how well you...
I know, because the person I have to sell the most is Ethelbald. He's going to be the weak link. Potentially, we're actually one of the bad brewers, because he is, well, he's got his own opinion. Basically, he's a mini-me.
You know, I don't think you'll have any big problems getting Bear, like you say, getting Bear or Rory to go for brewing in their own ways. I think it's more that you need to bring him into the guild thing. He is already under your command,
He's been apprenticed, and if you know how apprenticeship worked back then, he's more or less my servant.
Yeah.
But look, if you do well in the making of the Nog, I consider promoting you to a journeyman there, Ethelbald.
That sounds like some kind of persuasion.
So that'd be a coarse persuasion, because that's the only thing I can do. Anything else can I toss in there?
Their greed. Because you are offering them big cheese.
Yeah, I'm offering them to become not only brewers, but noggers. We become the new priesthood.
I mean, they're probably going to be on board anyway, but he's the sort of the person you need to really convince. Certainly you're teasing his power greed there.
Speaking of greed, this is a case because I'm seriously thinking about tapping, about getting, competition, but the competition will help me spur to be better at crafting better beers, which sounds like I'm tapping into my greed.
For craftsmanship or something, you mean?
Yeah. And also, if I can sell more beer than they can, I get wealthier too, because it's also part of my greed.
Fair enough. I'll let you tap that if you want. The obstacle is going to be 4. I'm giving you a bonus for tapping the greed, for tapping his greed.
And by tapping into my greed, how much could I get?
You could tap as much as you have for one persona.
Yeah. All right. One persona. Now tap it for the full greed. 5.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that means...
Because I... 9 dice. Ooh. 1, 2, 3, 4. I match. Do I get any benefits if I pop those 6s?
In the case of convincing, not really. No. He begrudgingly sort of nods. You can see that part of the begrudging bit is a bit of a show, because there's that glee in his eye that
I'll show this old fart I can do better than he can.
Not only that, he's giving me an in and I could have so much power. You sell that thing, and then one of Roar's messenger dwarves shows up, and he sort of looks around and sees you sitting there having your little council, and he wanders over and says, Ulfkel, Roar wants you to come immediately. There's something you must see.
Yeah, you folks, talk among yourselves. I'll be back. All right. I get up and I follow the little dwarf. He's like 3 foot tall. Yeah.
3 foot 2, I don't know. He's a little dwarf. You reach the outskirt of the encampment that looks upon the north tunnels. You kind of encamped in the underway, I keep forgetting, which goes down toward the Doom Gates, so it's sort of facing toward the Doom Gates. And Roar is standing there with 2 dwarfs you haven't seen before. One of them is this sort of stately-looking, military-looking woman. She has the same bearing as Roar, and the other appears to be her sergeant or second, and they have... different colors, and their armor has odd pieces in it, what looks like lacquered wood or something, but also mail and other stuff.
I've never seen these folks in Breccia before, so I have no idea if that's Breccia style or not.
I mean, as far as you were from your significant other, this whole wood. We don't work with wood. That's a bit odd. You can see Stone Bones is coming up as well, abreast.
I tap the messenger guy, say, hey. Run back to the brewers and tell them send a keg.
All right. He first runs you up to Roar, and Roar turns, and it's clear that he doesn't like you very much, but you're certainly part of the expedition. He's not going to let that stand in the way of making appearances, right, especially toward words from another place. So he nods as if you are
something important.
A valued member of this expedition.
I will be when the keg shows up. I'm not to the other two. I'm sorry, but if I had known, we had guests, I'd have brought a cake with me. I'm getting one right now, though.
I'll go good thinking of Kelsa's for. He says, this is our brew master, and this is our surgeon, and the other dwarfs sort of nod at him. And Stomos doesn't look terribly excited about this. Like, he looks almost a little
Like, he doesn't want to be there. And they say, they say, well, Ulfkill, Stone Bones, mm-hmm. is that a nickname? And, you know, Stone Bones just grunts affirmative. The woman sort of taps her plated chest and goes, I'm Hingrid. This is Thod, my advisor. We come on behalf of the Princess Fenna of Brekkia.
Now, that I've probably heard of.
Nope, you have not.
Okay, well,
that should totally be a test. Yes, you are right.
All right.
It should be a test.
Because we do trade, it just has to go to the human lands.
Yeah,
to get there.
You may totally have heard something. Clan history, it could be clan wise.
I have a learning skill clan history, which means we're double.
I think the obstacle would be 3, so it would become a 6.
6. I can't fork anything in, and then I don't have any persona left, so yeah, it would be a straight 6.
But it does count toward racing clan history.
Anybody that's with him help?
Not really.
Okay.
I'll pop a
I don't see anyone sort of hopping in to his private little computation here.
I'll pop that 6. I only get 4, so I don't make it.
Okay. Maybe I've heard of a Fenna. Maybe it was Frinya. You're not sure.
Yeah, if it was about the breweries in Breck, yeah, I can name them off my fingers. But
yeah, because that's what you remember. There was a brewer called Fenna, but wasn't that like 200 years ago? Like something like that. So unfortunately, you are at a disadvantage. And Hingrid says, we are curious to find other dwarves in the vicinity of the old Scoria Hold. And, well, on our princess's orders, we have come to ascertain your intention. And Roar's like, well, it is not for me to say what our glorious and illustrious Prince Fandral has for intention for the Great Hold, save that there are intentions. You can clearly see that he's struggling at this sort of diplomatic thing that is very not crushing goblins.
I feel better now. I know that he's got problems, too.
Right about then, your apprentices come over with a keg. Yes.
Do our guests have their battle mugs with them?
Yeah, I think they have something.
Take the mugs and start topping them up and handing out the beers. Being personable.
Okay.
Here's the good relations between our two peoples.
Speaking of which, says the sergeant, thought who he's sort of bald up top and has sort of 3-parted beard, and he says, it would be a show of good faith to let us see how you are doing, how you fare in the camp. Perhaps we can offer some assistance in turn if we see that you are in need. Roars. You can see Roars like, they're probably spies. But he looks sort of to you and Stone Bones as if like, what do I do?
I don't want to say the infamous, we have nothing to hide. Wouldn't be a bother. Take him on a little tour. We can serve him more beer on the way. Oh, dear God.
You can see him lit up now, Roar. Like, oh, yes, yes. Bring more beer. And there's that emphatic.
In fact, that's my instinct. Which I've never tapped to get me in trouble. But you know what? I'm going to try to get these two drunk. Because we never started anything without beer first.
Well, you did. You brought beer. So
try to figure out how they invoked that instinct to get me in trouble.
Maybe overdrink. More drunk than the visiting dwarves.
I'm learning drunking too, aren't I?
Oh yes, you are. Right.
Yeah. Let's take him on a magical mystery tour of the. Your mug's kind of low. Here you go.
I mean, you could engage in drunken and go. So let's see how breaking your dwarves drink and that kind of thing if you want.
Well, as you walk along, they have forever full mugs.
Do you want it to get you in trouble?
The way you get me in trouble is not being kind of obvious about it.
Well, you are impulsive, and you may be obvious about it, yes. It may be that Roar doesn't want to be worse than the others. He doesn't want to be the second to a Brekkia dwarf, so he might drink extra much.
So he's going to try and match some beer for beer.
Oh, yeah, that will mean he's not paying attention to what they're doing.
Yep, sounds like a plan.
Okay, so it gets very wet. You yourself probably become somewhat...
Drunken roll.
Absolutely. Let's make it a drunken roll. Let's make it a drunken roll against your will. Actually, that's a bit cruel. Let's make it against four to see if you can like stay sharp enough.
Yeah. So actually it's a 2 then, you're just saying.
No.
Or if it's a 4.
Right, that becomes an 8. Well, it's an 8 then. That means that it's either a will or a fort test, right? If you make it will, then it will go toward raising your donkey.
I'll make it a will test to keep myself...
So 6 dice versus 4.
Right.
Keep your wits about you.
I got 3. I'll pop that.
Yes,
very throw our privy three. Stuff.
Like you get so incredibly wasted. You haven't been this drunk in forever. Like you see everything swimming. I think Stonebones forgets his sort of taciturnity. For a while, he and Thod are sort of merrily staggering along, singing like an old song.
Ribald songs,
of course. Yes, Roar is equally completely drunk, and you both miss the fact that Hingrid is totally eyeing everything. How many dwarves do you have? What is your stock situation? Who is possibly missing? All that stuff.
Counting tents and realize there's more tents than there should be than the dwarves.
Yeah.
If you want to add trouble to that, this is where you talk about your great plans for Scoria.
Yes. We're going to go to the old, was it Ironwood or Iron?
No, says Roar. We're going into Scoria and we're going to break it open. We're going to throw out all the bastard humans and we're going...
And he goes off on this huge rant where he's...
No. I'm going to open up the best damn noggery in all of dwarfdom.
Right, and when you say that, he forgets his train of thought and he starts to say that we're the best brewer ever and you know, the blow the pants off any brick you brew anywhere and...
I love you, man, and I give him a hug.
Of course, he says, I love you too, right? And just in the background, your apprentices are all like, what the hell is going on?
Someone's poisoned him.
There's something wrong with Master Wolfgale. He's being nice.
Okay, is there anything like quick we want to do in the last 15 minutes?
I'd like to do something before I forget after, if we break for another couple months.
Let's do that.
I want to walk over to Bregor. Bregor, Rom's gone. He led your people poorly. He made poor choices. Help me find a new path for your people. Go to Lady Valari. Tell her I need to speak to her here on important matters and be quiet about what's happened here.
Persuasion. That's totally persuasion. I think it's against a 3. He's totally in a fragile position right now.
Can I fork in, oratory? Or?
That would be more toward a crowd, right? Let's see what you have.
Intimidation.
Yeah, sure.
Also throw in persona.
Well, if he's going to do the intimidating thing, maybe I won't let him up.
You could use etiquette. Right, you're kind of invoking the pecking order and so forth.
Yeah, you could sing. There's a skill that never gets used.
But we have the post-murder duet.
All right, then that'd get me up to 9. I've had bad luck, but maybe that'll work.
Oh, this will go. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You are the king of traitors. I'll give you that. His eyes are roomy and he's, totally shaking, but he nods and draws himself up to some semblance of his former self and he staggers down the steps to do your bidding. Mm-hmm. With the slamming of the gates down below, though, you have a feeling that somebody already knows.
Do we want to deal with that now or we want
to... That's too big to deal with now. Okay, well, I think then it's Arta time.
Well, I think it's safe to say this was a supporting episode for Flint, and that's okay.
But, okay, well, let's start with Flint. You totally had Fandral's back, so take a persona.
Yay!
I don't see anything other huge that I could award you for this time.
And I totally agree.
Yeah. Let's hop on over to Slate and the almost dog, almost puppy. Totally get a fate for wrangling your way to the puppy kennel. No real persona as yet. Only one fate to push you harder next time or in the future. Let's go to our prince. Certainly got the human off your throne.
Yeah.
I'd say that's a persona. I'd give you a fate for needing to end human control of Scoria. That's in progress. I give you a fate for being in the process of restoring your family prestige as well.
How about greed? How does that factor in? Does it go up a notch? Or
Yeah, my greed's going to go to 7 because I tapped it. Yeah.
So just erase all your tests. Raise greed to B7. The wonderful B7. You are now just as greedy as Torir, who is incredibly greedy. Okay, let's see about Ulfkel. I'd say you should get a persona for getting everyone together in a journeyman apprenticeship league or guild. I think I should award you a fate for... It's in the process of getting them in to claim breweries, right? Consolidating your people.
And do I get a fate for tapping my instinct to get to start things with beers?
Yes. I'll give Fandral and Ulfkel an embodiment persona. The whole dramatic stuff. And they got Ulfkel especially, having an epiphany or something.
Yeah.
And getting people together and wrangling stuff. I think that is...
That might be Moldbreaker, too.
Yeah, that's my instincts, right?
Well, I'm talking about your teaching behavior.
Well, I don't think it goes against his beliefs or instincts in that sense. It's a quirk of himself that he's sort of attempting to...
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, he's torn between teaching them correctly or doing what Fandral says.
It's Ulfkel, you know, finding himself and realizing that, you know, I got a chance here to start and do something new.
The only reason the rest of you are not getting embodiment is you didn't have screen time for it. That's the entirety of it. Okay, let's hop on over to Workhorse and MVP. Do you feel like anyone is deserving of Workhorse?
Being the Andrew.
Really?
Andrew.
Workhorse is someone who has a particular piece of gear to make a scene go, having a skill to get the other characters safely through danger, or just slaving away behind the scenes to make it all work.
Well, in some ways, I want to give it to Ulfkel, because he was the grand coordinator and alcoholic.
Did get you in trouble.
Yeah. Well,
we don't know that yet.
Do you think it went beyond his personal well-being or personal ambitions, though? Like, do you think he did it because of you? Because I don't. Not that I have a right to vote, but, you know.
Yeah.
If anything, I've gotten this probably into more trouble now.
Flint is the one who, I guess, helped another player character in
the... He's the only one, yeah, in the one instance. That's why I'm like...
Yeah.
Is your award, if you want to award Flint a fate, persona for Workhorse, that's cool.
Yeah, I'm good for that. How about the rest of you? Good for giving Flint a persona for Workhorse?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
I guess I'm the second.
And for MVP, it's Slate, right?
Fandral.
No, Fandral. I mean, he burned through a lot of stuff to be able to do what he, you know, basically take what could have been another sort of talking to the guy on the throne to, let's just end it right now.
I don't think there was any talking. These two are just destined to butt heads.
Yep.
Or lose their heads.
But the funny thing is, you know, because I do play this like a movie in my head, the actual fight between Ram and Fandral takes a lot longer to choreograph because I'm thinking of the balanced axe and everything like that, and it's almost swashbuckler-ish in my head. I'm talking flashing axes, sparks, inhumanly fast moves and parries.
So Vikings.
Very exciting stuff.
All over, up and down the stairs.
Over the broken, cracked steps and back against the throne.
I hope you had fun, even though there was no coffee this time.
Oh, yeah. Definitely good to get back in the saddle.
Yes. All right. Thank you for today, guys.
Thank you.
Hey, great. Thank you.
How long have I been muted?
A long time.
Wow.
Everybody take two drinks.
Yeah.
God damn it.
It's not even his beliefs. That's... Random notes about his beard.
Yeah. Last time I did tequila, I woke up in someone else's bedroom, and I was told I had used their closet as a urinal.
Now that's a party.
Poor people. All I'm addicted to is self-gratulation.
Oh, but you got to do that in the dark under the sheets, yeah.
I noticed that Dirk has been wisely quiet.
What is he possibly going to add? I mean, just exacerbate the madness.
Just trying to figure out what parts of that I can cut out, too. Send all complaints and other feedback. SundaySkypers@zoho.com. That's ZOHO.com.
or ZOHO.com if you prefer, or come by the forums, sundayskypers.freeforums.org, or yell at us at whatever forum you may come across us on.